You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Happy Halloween, effers. I'm your host, Internet Keith, and welcome to the Titans edition of Football and Other F Words. Today on the Titans edition, we will be talking about Titans news. We will preview the Cowboys game in Dallas, and we will have a mid-season review of the Titans. As is tradition, I am joined by some hooligans, but we are on a limited squad tonight. We have
a lot of people here.
Now we have a power trio.
Shortened up the bench a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all going to have to play more snaps, more minutes. So we've got a guy who just got traded for a French bulldog puppy. It's Zeebo. How you doing, Zeebo?
What'd I go for?
You went for a French bulldog puppy and a fourth round pick.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I feel like that's good return.
Considering the contract you're on.
Yeah, yeah. I got a high contract.
It's more than Demaryius Thomas fetch.
Yeah. So.
And this next guy, he just got traded for a used Drew Bennett jersey. It's Mike Miracles.
Well, that's probably a fair deal, actually.
DJ EJ is out with a mysterious illness.
He's been hanging out with Dennis Kelly, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Crap.
Maybe
he's
not.
Got the ass flu.
That's eloquent. It's an eloquent way of putting it. And then Mr. Lebowski is away on business.
He's on the road to Memphis.
Very important dude business.
Yeah.
Sources say that he might be interviewing for the Browns head coaching job.
Oh,
but we'll
won't they
that.
Just think that he's Matt Patricia?
I think that might be their entire plan.
Yes.
But we'll get into the Browns later. As always, today's podcast is brought to you by an F word, and today's F word is frightful.
Ooh.
As in, we hope you have a frightfully happy Halloween.
I really don't care if they do or not. It doesn't affect my life.
Well, that's fair and cold. If you're feeling cold, you might want to put on a shirt, and we have an ad for that.
With the Ville615.com, we're proud to bring you the best shirts in Nashville. You'll not only get free shipping on all orders of $100, but an expert is made in the Nashville Brand. Follow them on Twitter and Instagram at Ville615 and Ville615.com. If you move, which you don't need, have all the good shirts gone and shirts that I can applaud? Where's the good looking shirts that I can wear with my squad? Isn't there a shirt that won't make nipples bleed? In the closet is where I yearn and I search for what I need. Wear it at a bistro. There I'm going to wear only for the Ville 615. The hymns not too long and they're made to last. It must be for the Ville 615. Lit like a Zippo. Shirts that are fire as hell. It's for the Ville 615. Go online and buy yours. It's gotta be soon before you get stabbed with a knife. Stabbed with a knife.
All right, well, let's get into the Titans injuries. And some updates on that. We've got Kenny Vaccaro, who should be back, question mark?
Practicing with a elbow, some sort of elbow contraption on.
Basically a bionic Terminator arm.
He's like
the Gronkowski. Gronk.
Yeah, he's on the Gronk. I think he almost certainly plays this week, though. And they need him desperately.
Yeah, definitely. Do we have an update on Quentin Spain, a.k.a. Huggy Bear?
Sounds like he's practicing. I think the only two players that were not practicing, at least that we know of, or I guess the only player that is not practicing right now that we know of is Josh Klein.
I heard Will Compton missed today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Compton's the other one. That's right. So, yeah, Compton and Klein are the only two that have not practiced yet.
So, that means Morgan's back too, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I think Morgan's practicing. So, we'll know more. I think the first injury report will come out on Thursday this week because of the Monday Night Football.
Right.
So, everything's a day later. But we'll know more after that. But
day late, dollar short, like I always say on this podcast.
You've always said that.
Yep.
Every single pod, I think.
Always.
So we have big news. The Titans signed or re-signed, I suppose, depending on how far back you go for the definition of re-signing.
What's the statute of limitations on re-signing? These are the important questions that we need to figure out.
Either way, they signed Jahlstin Fowler.
Woo!
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Fullback.
Fullbacks on the roster.
Yeah, it's going to help the run game, and hopefully we now can figure out an identity with this offense. The big talk all week before this signing was, is LaFleur more Shanahan or more McVay, or is he just Terry LaFleur? Because he's been a lot of Rubisky too. So I think this is going to go towards more Shanahan and going towards the 21 personnel in the run game. And there was a good article that we tweeted out, and Big Mike tweeted out on his personal or on his Mike Miracle's Twitter account. Pat's Pulpit put out something about 21 personnel. I had no clue the Patriots had a fullback. I didn't not know this guy existed. But apparently Deion Lewis and the Patriots, I think, ran this most or second most 21 personnel behind the 49ers. So it's a very successful personnel grouping that we have not ran enough of, and that's just because we would have had to use Luke Stalker, take him off the line,
right?
And this just defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah. And the Pats usage of 21 personnel really ramped up in the second half of last year, and that really coincided with Deion Lewis's emergence in the running game. And, you know, as everybody knows at this point, Deion Lewis led the NFL in rushing over the, I think, the last 8 weeks of the season last year. When they basically
me? Is there something over here? I mean, Huxley?
He's underneath the table.
Oh my god, his ass must be towards me. That's the second part. It's
pointed directly at you.
Shit.
Yeah, that thing is.
Sorry, go back. Go back to the six.
But yeah, so the Patriots started using James Devlin, their fullback, a lot in the second half of the year last year, which coincided with Deion Lewis kind of taking off in the running game. So it could be, you know, I know a lot of people have paired Fowler with Henry because they played together at Alabama, and you know, obviously Fowler blocked for Henry a little bit there. But I think this might be as much about Deion Lewis, getting Deion Lewis more featured in the running game as anything, because he's done very well in that scheme before. And I think it's a good thing because we know the tight ends can't block.
Sure.
So Fowler is a good blocker. He may not be a whole lot else, but he's a good blocker. Mm-hmm. You can't hurt your offense by putting a better blocker on the field
right
now. So I think it'd be good. I'd like to see them run 21 personnel with Stalker as the Y inline tight end, and then Fowler as the lead blocker in the backfield, and see what happens.
In the Twitter group today, y'all were talking about how it brings an extra defender or it helps the gaps a fullback. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So
I wasn't really paying attention when you were talking.
So Superhorn on Twitter, great X's and O's guy for any Titans fan. But he was talking about fullbacks and the problems they present. And this is really why Shanahan loves the fullback so much. So full, and really, if you go back to like Alex Gibbs in the, you know, advent of the zone blocking and outside zone schemes, they love to use fullbacks because the fullback allows you to add an extra gap on either side of the ball, but the defense doesn't know where that gap is when the ball snaps. So you can essentially, you know, typically you've got like a gap, B gap, C gap, D gap, you know, on one side of the ball, and then same thing on the other side of the ball. Well, now you can create other gaps within those gaps, and they can be anywhere that you want to put it, depending on the play call, wherever the fullback's going. So the defense can't just say, okay, you've got the A gap. It makes your run fits more dynamic and less clear. It kind of muddies up your run responsibility. So fullbacks can be a huge help for the run game. I think Fowler is a good blocker. They didn't really use him very much, and I think that was why he was eventually released here. But
yeah,
and he's not a great pass catcher by any means. I don't think we've seen him used a whole lot as that, but we've seen that he can do it to some extent. Mm-hmm. So I think 21 personnel is very interesting to me, especially given LaFleur's roots in the Shanahan systems and things like that, where he always leads the league in 21 personnel usage. So I'm interested to see what they do with him. I don't know that he's going to play a ton of snaps, but
I mean, it's good that they're trying it, because obviously nobody's respecting the tight end's catching or blocking ability. So
yeah.
Yeah, and it's worth trying something new.
And that's the thing. Whether you've got a fullback in the game or you've got a tight end in the game, you're basically inviting, like Zach said, other people into the box. So you're inviting that extra defender into the box. Well, that only is – that's fine. I mean, you can do that as long as your guy that is blocking him is better than the defender that you're inviting in. And that hasn't been the case when the Titans have been in 12 personnel with the two tight ends, but maybe will be the case now if you've got Fowler and Stocker on the field together and you can actually block it up.
It also helps the extra blocker coming in also helps free up some passing lanes too, and especially off play action. And that's something that we've been lacking, is creative formations. It doesn't seem like I've noticed the same creative formation Shanahan and McVay ran, where they run and play action and then just straight up pass out of the same formation down the field.
Yeah.
So hopefully that brings that into a little bit more on to the Titans side.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, Jahlson Fowler. And
Nudie.
Yeah, what's the Nudie nickname? I've missed that.
Apparently he was naked a lot as a baby.
Well, weren't all babies?
I guess up into an age to the point where it earned him a nickname.
That sounds like one of those bullshit stories you make up about a nickname when it's actually something really messed up that you don't want your like wife or friends or mother to know about.
Something you did in college.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about the Titans and their notable absence from the trade deadline excitement today.
I need to put an emotional disclaimer because it's going to get very emotional and very heated in here. I do not think that, no matter what I say or what it sounds like, I do not think that J-Rob should get fired. Nor do I think he's done a great job so far. But I just want everybody to know, I do not think that he should be fired. And if you think that he should be fired, you're a fucking idiot. It's okay to be mad or find a person or a player, a coach or something, is not living up to their job. I do not think that J-Rob lived up to his job at the trade deadline. I think he has spent most of this season, in season, not doing his job. He offered what we perceive, because according to Benjamin Albright, he said that Demaryius Thomas, the Broncos didn't get an offer better than a 6th-round pick from anybody other than the Texans. Well, the Titans don't have a 6th-round pick, so either means that we offered a future 6th-round pick or a 7th-round pick. A future 6th-round pick is just as bad as a 7th-round pick. Yeah. That's fucking worthless. That is to me, that's a slap in the face to a Broncos GM. If I was John Elway and someone and those teams approached me for 6 for Demaryius Thomas, I just fucking laugh at him. I said I would just rather keep him at that point. What do you get with a fucking 6? You get Korea. Woo! That's what we traded our 6 for. Apparently, he views Camila Correa. I don't even know if I could say it right. Kamala Correa. Yeah, Correa. I don't even know if he can. He's basically saying Correa and Demaryius Thomas are the same value to this fucking team. That is ludicrous. When a wide receiver is obviously the biggest need on this fucking team, and you're gonna go and half-ass getting a wide receiver like that, that's fucking embarrassing. And then on top of that, he doesn't even attempt to go for Golden Tate.
That was crazy.
That is insane. He's out there. He'd rather watch Justin Fowler at practice doing fucking run blocks or Corey Levin fucking stretching or who knows fucking what than actually be in his fucking office doing his fucking job. You're not the strength and conditioning coach. They don't need you out in the practice field. They need you in there bettering the team. And all he's done he's attempted to surround markets with talent via the draft. He's failed. At this point, you have to say that outside of Corey Davis, I know, is going to get a long leash because he didn't play most of last year. He's still in this year, and he's now having in his second year already adjusted double teams because he's the only fucking pass catcher. But and I know you can't predict the future, but at some point, when we saw that Rashard got injured, our solution was to bring in Michael Campagnaro. And then when he got injured, let's bring in Nick Williams. These are a bunch of fucking losers. I mean, like, give me a fucking break. They're losers. I understand that they may know the offense, but they're not the veterans. They're not the type of veterans winning teams bring in to make their team better. They bring them in to push other veterans better or do this or that. They're not how you make a championship team. And you see LA, they go out and spend money because Jared Goff is on a cheap contract. The same goes for the Texans. Will Fuller goes down. Kiki Kute is injured. So they go out and they're like, well, shit, we've got to get Demaryius Thomas. And I bet if they lost out on Demaryius Thomas, they would have gone and got Golden Tate. The Eagles, receivers go down, running backs go down. They constantly go after someone because Carson Wentz is on a we're not going after anybody. And I don't know how to feel about that at this point anymore, where we're coming off 2-9-7 win seasons. And it's Marcus's fourth year. He has 1 year left on his contract, and we have really nothing to show for it except for technically a fluky win in Kansas City. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, yeah. Marcus catches his own pass. It's a fluky win.
Yeah.
But and Travis Kelce goes down. But it's still a win.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy we won. I mean, of course. But I'm just saying it's a fluky win. And we just kind of sat around. We didn't address our interior offensive linemen. We didn't address any kind of wide receiver playmaker. We brought in Deion Lewis. But through 6 weeks of the year, he's fucking worthless. I mean, 6 weeks, let's be honest. I mean, he's shown flashes, he's okay. But I mean, yeah. Has he been worth the price tag?
No.
Has Malcolm Butler been worth the price tag? No. At some point, J-Rob is going to have to get out of his comfort zone and make moves. That's what winning teams make moves. And I know everybody's going to initially, all the J-Rob defenders will come out and say, well, you know, it's better than Rustin Webster. That's a low fucking bar.
Yeah.
It is. But, I mean, and we've talked about it.
The
difference between the 2015 Titans roster talent-wise versus the 2018 Titans roster talent-wise is massive.
But the difference between the Tennessee Titans roster in 2018 compared to the rest of the rosters in 2018 is pretty bad offensively. I will say that our defense has been pretty good, and I have nothing really bad to say about his defense other than he probably shouldn't have traded up to get Rashawn Evans at this point when you could just drafted Harold Landry and picked up any kind of linebacker at this point because Rashawn Evans hasn't done anything. But I know there's a learning curve with Rashawn.
Sure.
But defense is not the problem, and Malcolm Butler is definitely, so far 7 weeks into the season, definitely overpaid. But I'm not ready to call that just, you know, he's washed or whatever. But it is a stain. We failed to get Sue, and that kind of makes you wonder, really, his free agency or his trading today kind of makes me wonder, how aggressive was he really getting Sue?
I mean,
how aggressive?
It's against the Rams, though. That's the thing. Like, if I was Sue and I'm sitting there going, well, I could go to the Titans, who were 9-7 last year. They've got a rookie head coach. You know, I'm not 100% sure, you know, how good they are, versus I can go to the Rams, live in LA, go to, you know, and he's a West Coast guy anyways, and they've got a loaded team. Everyone expected them to be a Super Bowl contender without a doubt coming into the season.
I've got Aaron Donald sitting next to me.
Yeah, I would have picked the Rams too, to be honest with you. I mean,
money doesn't become a factor, because, you know, he's probably would have gotten picked. Technically, we don't know what the Titans offered, but yeah, he more than likely would have took less money.
I think reportedly he was offered more money elsewhere and chose to go to the Rams anyway.
But I just wonder probably, if we were the ones who offered the more money.
Maybe not. Yeah, I don't know.
He's probably at that point in his career where he's looking for a Super Bowl ring. He's gotten paid already.
Yeah.
Well, he's been successful. Let me ask you this. We didn't make a move during the bye week. Is that a bigger flaw than not making a move today? Because let me say this. Deshaun, if Fitzmagic and Jameis Winston hadn't had that last Sunday that we'll talk on the next podcast about, they were ready to get rid of Deshaun Jackson earlier in the week, and we just kind of sat around and didn't do anything. And we all said they should try to make a move so they'll get in by the bye week. That's almost, to me, just as bad as not making a move today or just attempting to appease fans. I think it felt like, to me, it was just like a superficial hand job, like an over the pants reach around saying, oh, well, we tried for Demaryius Thomas, we you know, but it was just too rich.
Yeah.
Just kind of like it falls flat. It's the saddest hand job in the world.
Ideally, obviously, you would have loved to have the guy in for your bye week, but I think you probably have to overpay to get that done, because most of these other teams are wanting to push it all the way to the deadline.
Yeah, they're wanting an auction.
And, you know, make it somebody going to panic and pay the price that we want to get, you know? So I think you have to overpay if you're going to get them a week earlier. The Cowboys obviously did with Amari Cooper, because if you look today, you know, Golden Tate goes for a third. Golden Tate's undoubtedly a better receiver than Amari Cooper. Now, age and contract, you can argue that Cooper's got maybe a little bit more upside or whatever, but Tate's the better player right now. So, I don't know. I think, obviously, I would have liked to see them do something, especially, I can't believe they didn't at least have an offer on the table for Tate, because Tate...
That's mind-boggling to me. It was even said that they offered a fifth or a fourth. They just didn't offer anything. And this is a guy from your hometown. You know everybody would fucking go crazy if you got him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you are about to go into a Monday Night Football game, and the world is going to be watching. And if you lose this game, all anybody's going to talk about is, well, they should have got someone, and they should have done this, and then here comes the Patriots to come fucking wax that ass and in front of the home crowd. And again, I am not saying we should fire J-Rob, but this starts creating a scenario where you're going to have public outrage,
mm-hmm,
where it's going to catch the ear of the higher ups in the Titans organization. It's going to affect the players. It's going to be the main. J-Rob has made himself as quiet as a general manager as he's been, and been in the background for most of the stuff. He is probably now at the forefront of all the Titans talk radio going forward every time we lose. And that's not good for J-Rob. It's not good for the team. It's not good for that community, the locker room that they built. It's an egregious error on so many levels. I feel like that he didn't even attempt to go get Tate.
In the darkest timeline scenario here, yeah, if Amari Cooper comes out on Monday Night Football and throws up 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, and the Cowboys, you know, whip our ass and on national media or, you know, on national TV, it's going to get pretty loud.
It's
about
going to be bad.
You know, why didn't we do anything? Why weren't we the ones to trade for Cooper? That whole thing. Now, saying that, and I totally get the frustration and everything, and I'm surprised that we weren't in on Tate, because I think Tate's an outstanding player, and I think he helps anybody, and especially a team like the Titans that really needed somebody that could play in the slot just like Tate can, and Tate's perfect for that. Mm-hmm. I just thought he was such a like ideal fit on so many levels. But regardless of that, I think if you're looking at it from John Robinson's point of view, it tells me one of two things. It either tells me that A, he doesn't think the wide receivers are quite the problem that everyone else thinks they are, which is, I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
I'm just saying my facial expression is because I just can't believe that makes me even more mad that he would think that.
Well, I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but either he thinks the wide receivers aren't the problem that everyone else thinks they are, or he doesn't think that this team is a receiver away from being a playoff team, and he doesn't want to spend a third round pick on a guy that's a 9-game rental just to miss the playoffs.
Well, anyways. That's true. I mean, he'd rather use that third round pick on like Jonnu Smith or something.
And he'd rather have a third round pick and sign Golden Tate this offseason when he's a free agent anyways, you know? So
we're not in a win now mode. Is that what you're feeling?
No, so I'm not saying that's necessarily true.
What do you think though?
I think it's possible that he looks at all the problems on offense, and it's not just wide receiver.
Right. It's not just
interior offensive line. It's the tight ends are awful. The quarterback hasn't played as well as, you know, most would like him to. And I know there's reasons for that that are outside of the quarterback's control, but I'm just saying he hasn't exactly carried this team either.
Yeah.
So if you look at that and you say, okay, we've got problems at almost every position on offense, adding a wide receiver may not get us there. I mean, that's really, you know, between him and the coaches, whether they think, okay, yeah, a receiver takes care of this problem. Well, hell, Vrabel said today that
if Donald Trump was even out here, I probably wouldn't even notice I'm just out here coaching.
That's what he's got to say. He can't. I mean, he doesn't want to say anything about, I hope they make a trade to help us because we really need help because that pisses off his locker room and his GM, you know? Right. So,
let me ask you guys this question. I want a yes or no answer. Would you, as Titans GM, would you have given up a third round for Golden Tate? Zeebo.
Easily. No hesitation.
I would have hesitation, but yes, I probably would have.
Not what he said this morning, so something's changed.
Would you give up?
Have texts.
Yeah.
Hack me, Russians.
Why'd you change your mind?
So I've kind of cooled off of the whole trade frenzy because I just wanted the Titans to do something.
Yeah.
And Tate was the guy that I wanted all along. And like I said, I think he fixes, you know, the slot position for sure. He's automatically your best wide receiver. He's honestly automatically the best wide receiver that the Titans have had since at least Nate Washington, if not Derek Mason. But that being said, a third round pick is a lot. And especially when you had four draft picks in the previous draft, one of which was basically a throwaway for Luke Falk. And I get that that's J-Rob's fault, but you essentially came away from that draft with three players. Now, you had a couple undrafted free agents that have panned out okay so far.
Deontay Burnett looked good, just not for our team.
But you've got, like, Sharif Finch. You've got, you know, guys like Aaron Stinney. I don't know if he's ever going to turn into anything or not, but they seem to like him. No, he's still around.
Who was the guard that got cut recently for Fowler?
Oh, it wasn't a guard. It was Spillane, linebacker. Right. But you've got a few guys that are kind of filling in, but you've got a three-man draft class basically from 2018. Mm-hmm. Now, if you traded away a three, you're down to just a first, second, fourth, fifth, and seventh. So you're down to five picks in 2018 before we even look at, you know, being able to trade up. You automatically at that point basically can't trade up. You're saying, look, if anything, we're going to have to trade back in that draft because we can't afford to have another, you know, four or five man draft class. Because at some point, you've got to build depth. Like, you've got to build young, cheap depth. And the way you do that is through the draft.
So I mean, he's not playing to win this year or not making decisions with this year in mind. He's making decisions with next year in mind.
I think he's got to do both.
Well, I mean, what decisions has he made that helps us this year when we're in a tailspin of a season so far?
Well, he kind of did that in the draft when he traded up to get the inside linebacker we needed, traded up to get the edge rusher we needed. And I think that was him thinking about this year. And now I think he's kind of at a spot where maybe that hasn't panned out like he, you know, things haven't panned out clearly like he thought they were. He didn't think they were going to lose Walker. He didn't think they were going to lose Matthews. He didn't think that, you know, Davis, Taylor, and Sharp were not going to be better. I don't think he thought Mariota was going to have the elbow injury. I think things haven't turned out the way he expected them to. And sure, you've got to be able to adapt and roll with the punches, but I think he's probably dealing with a little bit of disappointment that this season isn't as good as what he thought, you know, it should be. And maybe he's saying, look, you know, I don't see that the receiver makes enough of a difference that in 2018 that I want to throw away a because a third round pick is like, that's considered to be a starter. That guy's going to be a starter within 2 years, theoretically, because you look at, you know, Titans third round picks are what, Kevin Byard, Jonnu, and Taywan. So those guys are all, you know, for better or worse, contributors
on those
the team.
For worse, definitely. Yeah. Here's my problem is that right now we have a C-minus roster and it seems like we only have B-minus aspirations. Like, it doesn't seem like we have aspirations to do anything other than win games by 3 points and hopefully pray to be second in the AFC South and 8-8, 9-7.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think if we add Golden Tate that we beat the Patriots or the Chiefs in the playoffs?
I think that I don't know.
I don't think
the Chiefs. I don't think we'd beat the Chiefs. A Patriots probably would be an easy. To me, I think the Patriots would be the easier matchup,
yeah.
Defense to offense.
Do you think we're a Golden Tate away? I guess is my
question. I mean, maybe not New England coming up, but I think maybe later down the road when we're clicking on all cylinders and he's adjusted, I think so. I mean, I think we have a shot. I feel a lot better than us limping into the playoffs like we did last year and us going up against either of those teams.
Yeah.
My thing is, and we'll go to the red zone real quick, and I watched red zone all day Sunday, and all day Sunday, all I saw were NFL offenses, and I realized, holy shit, we do not have an NFL offense, and it sucks. And so I feel like Golden Tate would give us an NFL worthy offense where we can maybe score consistently 21, 24 points and maybe win games by larger margins than 3 or 1 point.
31, 34. Yeah. Like, I mean, please, for the love of God, can we get more than 20 points in a game?
Russell Wilson's out there throwing to a guy named David Moore, and this guy's making contested catches. He's breaking open. Russell Wilson made a beautiful throw, but Tyler Lockett is 5'7" or something like that, and he just made this wonderful catch out in the end zone, and I'm thinking, I understand that our receivers can't catch, and I understand that, like, there's this thing where Marcus cannot make, he can, but he gets in, he's in his head too much,
yeah,
and he's just not letting it loose.
Trying not to make mistakes.
I mean, Russell and Cam, I mean, I watched Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, I mean, all the, Patrick Mahomes, even Case Keenum was out there making plays and trying to make something in the backfield. I mean, offenses are moving. We're not. And a lot of that has to do with our play calling. A lot of it has to do with interior offensive line, no run game, receivers, and the inconsistent quarterback, like Big Mike Sari said. And I'm livid. Like, I am so unhappy with this Titans team that it makes me wish it was last year. And I can't take another year of 11 touchdown, 15 interception, Marcus, and you could throw all the excuses you want at me that, well, he hurt his hand and blah, 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 blah. Well, his hand didn't look fucking hurt during the Philadelphia game, but his ego and his decision-making looked hurt in the Buffalo game. We're on a 3-game losing streak. I'm kind of oversettling for the mediocrity. I was happy with the 9-7. I'm not going to be happy with 8-8, 9-7. I had high expectations coming in. And I don't think we should be as fans. I think we should want more. And we should want what everybody else fucking has. Yeah. We are still lagging behind. It still feels like last year we were 10 years behind everybody else in the NFL. Well, this year we're still just 5 years behind. But at least we made progress. But it feels like we're 5 years behind everybody.
I don't even know that we aren't as far as what has the product that has been on the field so far this year, it is not as good as what they were last year, in my opinion, for the most part. I mean, the defense is better. There's no doubt about that. But the offense is absolutely worse right now. And, you know, sure, breaking into a new scheme, all the excuses we've heard over and over again. But you look at the company that the Titans keep in almost every important statistical category on offense, it's the fucking Bills and the Bills and the Cardinals. The Browns are like way ahead of us. I mean, way ahead.
And they have more drop percentage.
Yeah, more drops than a rookie quarterback. And it's not like their offensive line and running game is just stellar. I mean, let's be honest. There are problems here that go far beyond just, oh, well, the receivers dropped a couple passes.
Right.
And that's what I'm tired of seeing is everyone wants to say, oh, well, everything would be fine if we just caught passes. Like, yes, the record would be better. If Nick Williams caught a pass, if Corey Davis caught a pass, the team could potentially be, you know, 5-2 pretty easily. Right. But that is not going to change the fact that this offense is shit. That's the thing. And whether we're 5-2 or not, sure, it's a different conversation because we're like, hey, check out this great defense. You know, they're carrying us. Hopefully the offense clicks at some point. But we're not going, hey, this is a really good football team. Because if you don't have an offense that can keep up with the Patriots and the Chiefs and the, you know, Vikings and the Saints and, you know, the Rams and all these other great teams that are going to be in the playoffs,
that have multiple receivers that are better than, just as good or better than Corey on a lot of these teams, but they're definitely, their top three receivers are definitely better than anything we have. I mean, like, when you look at these teams, they're built around offense. Defense comes in later, but these guys, there are so many young quarterbacks in the league. They're all being surrounded with offensive talent, but they're also all letting loose.
Yeah.
A lot of these quarterbacks are playing like this is backyard football, and Marcus is trying to play like it's, I don't know, like Tecmo Bowl.
So that was, you know, I sent you that article from Matt Waldman's website. I don't know if it was Matt that wrote it or someone that works for him, but it was actually a draft breakdown of Mariota pre-draft from 2015. Yeah. And he called him the task-oriented quarterback. And basically the gist of it was he went through several examples of plays where Mariota was, you know, looking at a certain read or looking at a certain defense and how he really broke down what he's looking at and how he's progressing through and what he should be looking for on these defenses. And basically the gist of the, you know, takeaway from this article was Mariota is not a freelancer. He is going to do what the offense is designed to do. So if a play is designed to go to the backside seam route, he's going to look off the safety and throw the backside seam route against that look. And he's doing a lot of this. He's determining a lot of this pre-snap in college. So, you know, in the NFL, obviously defenses are a lot more capable of disguises and they're tougher to read pre-snap. So you've got to be able to adjust a little bit. Well, I think Marcus has struggled a little bit with that. It doesn't help that he's been on four different, you know, offenses basically, or four different play callers since he's come in the league. But I think some of the issues that you're seeing from him as far as he doesn't freelance, he sometimes doesn't see the opportunity on a busted coverage that another quarterback does and attacks because he's so focused on I'm looking here and then I'm going here because that's what the coverage dictates. And while that can sometimes be a good thing, I think that's why you see some of these throws where it's like, Marcus, what were you looking at? Why would you throw the ball there? I think he's just determined that this is what the defense is doing. This is where I'm going. And he doesn't react and just kind of flow with the game naturally.
And he's a paint by numbers kind of guy.
Yeah. And I think you could probably coach him out of that. And I think that's probably what they need to work with him on is developing, hey, look, you know, and it could just be as simple as looking in the film room and saying, look, when you see this, you've got to go here. When you see that, you've got to go there. And try to help him see some of these opportunities that present themselves and maybe he's not taking advantage of. But I think those are some of the issues that are holding back this offense, in addition to the interior offensive line and the receivers and stuff like that. And you can see it in the lack of explosive plays. I mean, the Titans have 9 explosive pass plays on the season in 7 games, which is like a third, I think, of what the Chiefs and other teams like that have. And they're attacking downfield constantly. They you can feel the aggression when you watch that team on red zone or whatever. You can feel that they want to, they don't want to get into third and manageable. They want to get a first down every play. They want to get a touchdown every play.
Yeah.
They are going downfield, being aggressive. And that's what I would love to see the Titans become at some point, but they are nowhere near there right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know that a Golden Tate puts us there. Right. I mean, it helps for sure, but I don't know that it by itself puts us there. Everything else has to get better around it.
Yeah. So hopefully that happens next Monday night, or this Monday, next Monday. How do weeks work?
There are days.
Yeah, there's days in a week. So do you guys, would you classify this Cowboys game as a must win?
I would. You can't. And I would even, you can't lose. Well, you can't lose embarrassingly. If you lose 35-34, that's probably a little bit better. But we really need to come out and just whoop that ass. I mean, we are needing a game where we just dominate everything and we whoop that ass. And this is going to be a hard opponent to do it to. But you can't lose this game in front of the whole nation and then go into versus the Patriots at home. You just can't do it.
Yeah. Mike?
It's as close to a must win as you can get without it being an actual end of season must win.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I mean, do you think there's any risk of losing part of the locker room if we continue the slide?
It depends on how we lose, but I don't think so. Even if it's a bad loss, I think they'll get one more mulligan out of it. Okay. But I don't think they can take 2 bad losses in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be some frustration, but I can't see the players like actively turning on Vrabel or anything like that.
I think they're going to...
They start looking at next season instead.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you're 3-6... And, you know, I don't know. Who do we play after the Patriots? Are the Colts?
The Colts in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and they're not a pushover.
I don't even want to talk about
Colts,
it.
Colts, Texans, anyway. Jets, Jags, Giants, Washington, Colts.
If you're 3-6, I mean, you're going to be at least, what, two games behind the Texans?
Yeah.
Possibly more. So if you reach that point, you're all but done. So I think the Titans really need to win against the Cowboys. At least that buys you a week where, hey, if you beat the Patriots, great. You know, you're back above 500, and now all of a sudden you're looking like, okay, we're 5-4. We're probably right on the Texans' heels. Let's go make a push down the stretch and try to get in the playoffs.
Right.
But if you're 4-5, you lose to the Patriots, it's still okay. You're still around. You know, you're still going to be able to make a push if you can get some wins on the back half of that schedule.
But. Yeah. Well, let's talk about personnel. They added Amari Cooper before the trade deadline. Regardless of what you think of how much they paid for him, do you foresee him being a problem in our game?
I think with the extra bye week, he'll be a little bit of a problem. I depends on how they deploy him and how they use him and how much chemistry they're able to build. But the fact that they have Zeke there, that is going to help Amari Cooper more than just Dak is going to. I mean, that's someone that we're going to be focusing on more, which could allow Amari Cooper to... You know, there always seems to be that one play where nobody knows what's going on in coverage and a receiver slips on by and catches a ball for a 75-yard touchdown. That's probably... I could see it. I could see it happening. I could see him... I would not be surprised if he had a 100-yard game and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Oof. Titans Twitter would melt my phone. I mean, just gone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess I'm concerned about Amari to some degree, but I mean, he's clearly the best receiver on the Cowboys walking in the door.
But we should just take them away. I mean, there should be a game plan to take them away and not have to worry about
it. The corners are good enough to hang with them. And yes, I know Butler, whatever, but Butler's a good enough corner that he can cover Amari Cooper as long as he's not doing dumb shit and getting caught with his eyes in the back.
Yeah. So let's move to his new teammate, Zeke Elliott. You kind of talked about it a little bit. Do you want to talk more?
I'm fucking worried about Zeke. I mean, there's nothing he can't do. He can block, he can catch, he can run, he can bowl people over, he can make you miss. And after seeing LeSean McCoy and Chris Ivory, that's really stuck out in my head. Eckler was a different kind of running back than those two, but it's like, if you take what Eckler did and if you take Eckler and combine him with Chris Ivory and LeSean McCoy, you get Zeke. You get everything that those running backs can do in one person, and it's scary. And that's it. I don't know. I'm just so totally worried about this game. I can't even put it into words.
Mike?
He's the concern, especially with the run defense being shaky for most of the season from the Titans. I think they were much, much, much better against the run game of both really Baltimore and the Chargers. So maybe they've kind of figured something out there, because I don't feel like, and the numbers may not. Well, no, I'm pretty sure they held.
Eckler was more of a factor in the pass game.
Yeah, he caught a few passes, but I'm pretty sure even what's his name for the Ravens,
Collins.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Alex Collins didn't really do a whole lot. They were basically just converting third down after third down, and it was mostly through the air. So yeah.
I would say that Alex Collins is nowhere close to the talent of McCoy or Elliott.
Yeah, no, of course not. But I'm just saying, I think the run defense may be coming around a little bit for the Titans.
Woodyard will be healthier.
Woodyard will probably be 100%. Vaccaro will likely be playing, and Vaccaro is a big part of that run defense. And you should have, defensively, if Morgan is back, which, you know, I'm not 100% sure he will be, but if Morgan's back, there's a good chance you've got 100% healthy defense. And you've got Evans is a little bit more into things now, and I think this could be a big Evans game because of the Zeke factor. That's true. Evans is a much better matchup on Zeke than a Jayon Brown is. So yeah,
you just keep him running downhill and focused on Zeke. So what do you expect from our offense, and are you worried about their pass defense?
Their pass defense is so fucking good. I mean, it is. And not only is there, I mean, the defensive backs are really good there. The linebackers are really fast. I think we're like the one team that Sean Lee is going to be fully healthy for, it feels like.
Of course.
And then Jalen Smith is really good. But then you got DeMarcus Lawrence.
You've got Vander Esch.
It's a nightmare of a defense, and we're going to have our struggles, especially if we're going to be fielding the offense that we fielded the last 7 weeks and we made no adjustments, no changes to personnel, and we did nothing. If we bring any of the offense, even the Eagles offense that we ran, if we brought that in the Cowboys game, we're still going to get eaten alive by that defense, because that defense is just so much better than any. I think it's the best defense that we faced so far, and probably
better than the Ravens.
I don't know if it's better than
the Ravens are very up and down. At least the Cowboys are consistently good. Yeah. So we just happened to get the Ravens on the 1 week they decided to show up, and our team was played like complete shit.
True.
Yeah.
There was nothing good on our offense that happened, and I think that this is going to be a really prove it matchup for Matt LaFleur, and hopefully he's gotten his head out of his ass and decided what kind of fucking offensive coordinator he's going to be.
Yeah. Mike?
I think the defense is certainly a concern. By almost any metric, they're one of the best in the league. The Titans offense is, by almost any metric, one of the worst in the league. So it definitely seems like a one-sided matchup on that side of the ball. But, you know, again, the Titans offense, or the Titans defense versus the Cowboys offense, is also relatively one-sided if you look at most of the stats. So I think it could be a defensive struggle. I'd like, you know, obviously the Titans to come out with a little bit something different offensively. And, you know, it's a big week. It is. It's a big week for Matt LaFleur. I mean, he's got to put together a game plan to win this game. It's got to get better, you know, sooner rather than later. You've had 2 weeks to prepare for these guys. I know they've had 2 weeks to prepare for us too, but it's got to get better. Yeah. And now maybe the bright side is I heard Jolston Fowler today in his interview saying that he was here to knock people out, and I think he was talking specifically about Sean Lee. So
it'd be awesome.
I think if you look at Sean Lee the wrong way, he might get knocked out.
He's like a fainting goat.
Yes. Maybe he'll like step on a Lego at home and, you know, tear his ACL or whatever. Not that I want that to happen, but it would help our offense. So win or lose, what do you need to see to feel good about our future this year?
I need to see a competent offense that can sustain drives, be creative, and they haven't allowed anything over 20, I think like 24 points when I looked at their schedule or something. They may have done 28 or something. If we could score 30, win or lose, I'd be okay with us scoring 30, to be honest with you. But I don't think that's going to happen. But if that happened, I would feel 10 times better.
I just want a couple of 20 plus yard.
We need offensive touchdowns. Passes. I don't want gimmick fake punt touchdowns. I don't want defense. I mean, I'll take defensive touchdowns. I'll take these take it touchdowns. Where you can get
it. Sure.
But we need a 3 touchdown from the offense kind of performance. I'd love to see Marcus get 2 or 3 and 1 on the ground. We need that kind of game where we put together a competent game plan.
I want to see explosive plays. That's it. I just want to see explosive plays from the offense. Like 4 or 5 of them. I think put together 4 or 5 explosive plays, you win the game.
Yeah. I want to see danger.
Yeah.
I want to see aggression.
I want to see Mariota, whether the receivers have earned it or not, throw on the fucking ball and make them prove it one way or another. Yeah. I don't care, you know, he dropped the last one. Throw on the ball, make him catch this one.
Yeah.
Statistically, though, Marcus, outside of the Thursday night football game against the Steelers, mm-hmm. Marcus has thrived on primetime
games. He has.
So it'll be interesting to see if...
His best game last year was the Colts game by far. On Monday night. So,
all right. Well, we've looked forward. Now let's look back on the season. We're about 50% of the way through. And we're going to do a midseason review of the Titans. We're going to do a SWOT analysis.
SWOT.
Super corporate.
SWOT.
For those of you not in the know, SWOT is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And so we're going to break down the Titans' year thus far accordingly. So let's start with strengths. What do you guys think our strengths are?
Defense. I think defense and our head coach are our two biggest strengths. And I think Vrabel's still a magnificent head coach hire. I'm still thoroughly pleased with the job he's tried to do, despite his offensive coordinator constantly sabotaging him, or at least that's what it feels like. But I mean, our defense has looked great. It's looked aggressive, and I think that's our biggest strength. And the fact that Vrabel has kept this locker room together through a crazy fucking 7 weeks is magnificent.
Big Mike, do you agree on the strengths?
Strengths, yeah. I would say, yeah, I think Vrabel is doing a good job. You know, it's hard to know on the offense how much, you know, he's directing LaFleur or how much this is all LaFleur's baby. You know, I don't know where that overlap is, but regardless, I think he's doing a pretty good job as head coach. Now,
if he's involved and it comes out that he's the reason that we're having these second guessing issues and stuff, I'll change that.
Yeah. But we don't have any reason to necessarily think that right now. But yeah, I would agree. The defense is a strength. Obviously I think they're the second or third ranked scoring defense in the league right now. The secondary's been very good for the most part. Malcolm Butler, big plays aside. Rashawn Evans is starting to come around. I feel like he's played better week after week, getting more experience.
Jarrell Casey's playing out his mind.
Casey's been incredible. So I think that special teams, I would say, is a strength as well. Suckup missed the field goal last week, but aside from that, Suckup's been really good. Brett Kern's been good as always. Darius Jennings has been a revelation on kick return. So, yeah, I think...
A revelation.
He's been a revelation. on kick returns. Yeah. I'd say that pretty much sums up the threats.
Yeah.
Or strengths.
Threats for other teams.
Let's move on to weaknesses. We'll start with Mike. What do you think this team's weaknesses are?
Offense.
Yeah, there it is.
I mean, it totally is.
Really? Yeah. You think that?
Yeah. You know, I know it's a little bit of a hot take, but I don't think the Titans' offense is very good. I don't know.
Imagine it is ever going to be this bad when you were looking and even after the Miami game, after Delaney went down and we had the injuries to Marcus, we knew Marcus would probably come back. Did you still feel like this was going to be the offense you saw?
No. I never thought Jonnu was going to be this invisible in the passing game. I can't believe they haven't gotten him more involved. And I know he dropped the one pass, but besides that, I don't know that it's because he's been terrible. They just haven't gotten him involved at all.
Right.
Which I, you know, maybe that changes in the second half, but
maybe he's, you know, struggling with the playbook or whatever, but
LaVell Hawkins 2.0.
He definitely looks like a guy that's thinking more than he's just playing right now. You can physically see it, especially
it
like,
seems to be the theme on this offense is that everybody's thinking way too much.
Yeah. And you can see it slows guys down. You know, you can tell they're thinking about, oh, this is how I'm supposed to do this technique instead of just, all right, well, I'm going to just block this guy however it needs to get done.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Zeebo, any other weaknesses?
I am going to say I think J Rob's a little bit of a weakness, and I'm just not happy with this 2018 season. I like 2016 J Rob. I've enjoyed 2017 J Rob. 2018 J Rob, it's like there was some redesign under the hood that happened, and they've just totally changed everything I liked.
Factory recall.
Yeah, it's something. And maybe this is just going to be that one year where things just kind of just don't go our way. Ever since that Miami game, it just feels like nothing's going our way. And maybe that's just how this year's going to go, and it'll be better next year. But, I mean, the lack of moves, I mean, letting Deontay Burnett go to bring in Cameron Batson back, and or just letting him go, period. He caught all 11 balls, and then he goes and catches five. He mosses the dude, catches five balls in the Jets game, 5 for 5, 11 for 11. He's now, since joining the NFL, 16 for 16 in NFL passes thrown his way. And you know what our biggest problem's been? Drops. So, I mean, shame on J-Rob for that one.
Yeah. We'll add drops to the weaknesses list, but we're not going to talk about it because we've been beating that dead horse for far too long already. You put O-line on here as a weakness.
That's offense. So, yes. Okay. It's horribly constructed. The interior offensive line is a mess. We're going to have to go into some kind of there's a lot of position groups that we're going to overhaul a lot of our offense going into the 2019 season. And I'm very hesitant with how the offense has been constructed that J Rob can do it. I'm hoping that he can do it, but I mean, I want him to do it.
Yeah.
I need him to do it. Well, that's, I need you.
That's another way that Jahlson Fowler can help, because now you can stick him. You can just have him line up, right? So you've got Ben Jones at center. You've got Josh Klein at right guard. They're the guys. I mean, they just get knocked back in the backfield every play, like 3 yards. So you line up Jahlson Fowler just right at the snap with one hand on each of their ass. And as a hut, and he just pushes them forward. So like,
we should have traded for Kelvin Benjamin if we needed offensive linemen.
Yeah. We could have used a right guard. So
poor Kelvy. Let's move on to opportunities. Our opportunities, I would say we have a weak division. It's one of our opportunities.
I don't know if I can get on board with the weak division after these last few weeks, because I'm going to, and then
who are you believing in?
It's relatively weak.
It's relatively weak, but in the next podcast, I'm going to have to eat some words on the Colts, because they're playing lights out. They're playing like an aggressive team that doesn't know they're not supposed to be. They're the little Giants. They're not supposed to be this good.
Yeah.
And they are, because they don't fucking give a shit.
Mm-hmm. Who's Icebox?
On
the Colts.
Probably Darius Leonard.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. That makes sense.
but I mean, when you think about it, they're going out there and they believe in each other, and they're playing lights out, and they're a really good team. And I'm going to get into that in the next one. And but the Texans are good too. I mean, I know they played weak opponents, but offensive line's their only weakness, and Deshaun Watson extends plays regardless of what's back there. He may lose one of his lungs. I don't know. That could change the whole season, but if Watson stays healthy and he plays like he's been playing for the majority of the year, that's a good team.
Yeah.
Like these people who said, oh, I can't believe people are saying that the Texans are as dangerous as the Chiefs or the Patriots. I don't know. Watch the fucking game. Their defense is playing awesome. I'm going to have to eat some words on the defense, too. The
defense is legit.
And give me a break. I mean, they have what it takes. They have an explosive offense.
They do.
So I don't know if it's an opportunity, as and we've never beaten Andrew Luck. So
yeah. He's been a thorn in our side.
So I don't know if that's much an opportunity as it was 2 weeks ago when we came up with this idea.
Mike, any external opportunities?
External opportunities. I would say the division is an opportunity just because nobody's run away with it yet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The Texans could potentially. I think Will Fuller's injury, regardless of them adding Demaryius Thomas, will hurt them because he's a big part of that explosive down the field passing game.
Right.
So, and you could see the difference because he'd missed a big chunk of the first part of the season. That offense wasn't near what we saw against the Dolphins the other night. So he's a big loss for them. But anyways, I do think the division's a little bit of an opportunity. I think there's an opportunity just in the fact that the Titans only have forced 7 turnovers so far this season, which I know sounds like, okay, that's the Titans' fault. Why aren't they forcing turnovers? But I think the Titans are playing good defense, and I think they haven't gotten the... Because how many... we haven't seen a whole lot of the random tip balls that land in a guy's arms or the... we've only recovered 2 fumbles on defense.
Well, and year. Outside of Bortles, we've generally played top-level quarterbacks.
Mostly pretty good quarterbacks. Flacco is okay.
Allen... But he really didn't play that much.
Yeah.
It was basically a running game. But regardless, I feel like the turnovers, and I people that have listened to me or read stuff I've written before know that I feel like turnovers are a lot based on luck, and it's tips and deflections and stuff like that, and whether that lands in the grass or lands in your defender's arms is whether or not it's a turnover. So I think there's an opportunity for us to just get some natural regression on turnover luck, and that could really make a huge difference, because if you start getting, a defensive touchdown here or there, or great field position, or, you get a quick stop and get the offense back on the field against a tired defense, those are the kind of things where you can start to build some momentum and kind of, really put the clamps on a team. And with only 7 turnovers through 7 games, Dean Pease's Ravens defense last year had 34 turnovers on the season. So they had almost 2 per, over 2 per game. And the Titans are at just 1 per game right now. So I think there's going to be some regression, some positive regression in the turnover category.
Yeah. Anything else, Sebo? You can think of?
No, I really didn't get the opportunity part of the thing. I just let y'all talk.
I have here improved chemistry from the offense overall.
We've had
the delayed start a little bit. We talked about this a little bit last week.
Right. That was part of last week, was the delayed start and hoping that... And in fact, I can actually go into this a little bit further. Glad you reminded me. Thank you, Keith. Good job as a host, bud.
Thank you.
Gold star for you today.
And I guess I probably already did talk about this, but after the bye weeks, Shanahan and McVay last year really came out with better offenses. So that's 2 coaches that he's come from that have that defensive trend that after their bye weeks, they came out with better offenses. Yes. So the opportunity is that LaFleur, after a bye week, comes out with a better offense. Yeah. So hopefully with a Marcus doesn't have the glove on his thrown hand. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
with what we deem is either a 90 or 100% Marcus.
He said today, full feeling, back in all his fingers.
So with that, and with having the bye week to kind of fix some kinks and getting Justin Fowler, I know we didn't get a wide receiver, but hopefully that the offense can be what we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
So there's an opportunity there.
Any more opportunities from you, Big Mike?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
Okay. Let's move on to threats. I would say that one of our threats is that we have to win the division to make the playoffs.
Right. Yes. That's awful. That's a unless huge one. Unless the Chargers or Ravens, where the Ravens have not been stacking wins like they probably should be.
They're only 4-4, so yeah, they're just a half game so ahead of us with the tiebreaker, and obviously. That's, but
they got a pretty tough division ahead of them too, so the that could be something right there. We don't play the Bengals, so
yeah.
if we could still maybe get the wild card because it is the Ravens and the Chargers, and if so far the Ravens are inconsistent, Chargers are can charge anytime. I mean, they could just fucking just start exploding. Well,
think about this for trade deadline acquisitions. They're about to add Joey Bosa to that 5-2 yeah. team. So
oh, shit,
that team's yeah. going to be very good. Yeah. Barring like, you know, some sort of other injury, right. like Keenan Allen goes down or Phillip Rivers goes down or yeah. something like that.
That's a big threat though for us to even get in the playoffs. I mean, you're right. We're going to have to win. And like I said, in the previous opportunities, it's not going to be as easy as we think unless there is injuries that happen to those other teams besides Jags. Cause Jags fucking suck.
Yes. Big Mike, anything to add or any thoughts on that?
I definitely think that's a valid point. We need to focus on winning the division. Now, maybe, you know, like we said, something falls out with one of these other teams, but chances are the wild card's out the window at this point. Just going
to
be way too
And this means
crowded.
That we're going to have to get over this bugaboo of not being able... I'm so glad I got to use the word bugaboo.
Bugaboo.
His face lit up as soon as he sat up.
Of not being able to beat Andrew Luck.
Because
that's your threat. To me, right now, Andrew Luck is playing out of his mind. That coaching staff is doing a great job. To me, they're the bigger threat than the Texans, honestly. Is because we can always get after Watson, it seems like.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more worried about us getting after Andrew Luck now, and if we don't get after Andrew Luck, he can do whatever he wants. To me, he's the biggest threat to us even getting, not only winning the division, also getting a wild card too. I mean, those two teams are still in the hunt for a wild card. Yeah. I mean, everybody in our division is still in the hunt for a wild card.
Yeah, the Colts certainly aren't out of it.
And we have to play them twice.
Right.
We do have to play them twice. So, I mean, those two games are going to go a long way to determining whether right. or not the Titans or the Colts remain in the hunt. I mean, if one team sweeps the other, that's a huge deal. I mean, that pretty much ends somebody's season and
right. yeah.
is a huge boost to someone else's. So those two games will be massive.
I mean, they're our last game of the season, of the regular season. So
I think another threat is injury. The Marcus injury is just such a big threat that's always looming over this franchise, it feels yeah. like.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we would have got Colin Kaepernick or Teddy Bridgewater or someone other yeah. than Blaine Gabbert. I mean, I like Blaine. Blaine's backup, all right. Yeah.
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 yeah the I think that's fair. I will say on the flip side of that, though, if you want to add to another opportunity, getting healthy, we have been
yeah.
decimated by injuries True. Early in the season because if you look at, I mean, we haven't had a single game besides the Eagles game where we started with five offensive linemen that we wanted to and ended the game with the same five that we wanted to.
That's like, crazy. That's like, insane.
It's the only game that's happened all season. I don't think it's a coincidence that that's also one of the best games that we've played all season.
Yeah, right.
So I think the health with Mariota being able to feel fully confident in that arm again, he's going to be as close to 100% this week as we've seen him, you know, since the first half of the Miami game. So hopefully you start to see him feel a little bit more comfortable in that maybe, you know, demonstrates itself in the way he plays as well. So, and you know, of course we've missed Woodyard, we've missed right. Vaccaro, we've had all sorts of injuries across the board. So
yeah, and I know that we've tooted Woodyard's horn a bunch, but toot again.
Yes,
because yeah. that guy is a huge part of our defense.
Right.
Yeah, he's massive in pretty much every aspect.
Right. Yeah, that's a great opportunity. I didn't think about that. I think that's about it, unless you guys can think of anything else.
I thought that was a good solid pod that we just did. Thank you, Keith.
No problem. Hey, happy Halloween, buds.
Oh, happy Halloween to you.
Let me say one thing before we go. One thing that's become hyper annoying to me, and this is not me hating on Tajay Sharpe, because I've admitted I was wrong about Tajay.
I feel like he's about to say some bad stuff about that.
No,
this is nothing against Tajay Sharpe. This is everything against the people that are out there saying Tajay Sharpe is the only consistent receiver that the Titans have.
That's not good.
Because he's had one game. That game against the Chargers is the first time he's had more than 33 yards in a game. Get out of here with he's the only consistent receiver bullshit. Yeah, now, he catches the ball, you know, when it's thrown to him, but he's not out there every week putting up numbers. Corey Davis has been the most consistent receiver.
Well, it starts now.
And yes, recency bias.
Yeah.
He had Tajay Sharpe had the best game last, and we've been stewing over it for 2 weeks, and now everyone's like form this narrative in their head that Tajay Sharpe's our best receiver. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Corey Davis has been our best receiver. Right. Tajay Sharpe has been our second best receiver, and looks like he could be an important part, especially on third down moving forward, but let's not retrofit the entire season to pretend like Tajay Sharpe's some stud.
I agree with Big Mike, and because all that means is that I was right.
Well, here's the thing. What you just said is absolutely right. It is a little bit of recency bias, but it's also the fact that he was one of our best receivers a few bad years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so people are remembering that, and we don't have a guy on the roster who has done it consistently. So, yeah.
But, and it's worth pointing
out, I'm sorry, a snoring French bulldog.
Wow. He's snoring with his eyes open. It's amazing. Speaking to that, Tajay Sharpe finished that season with 522 yards. Corey Davis is at almost 400 right now.
He can still get 1,000 yards. I think he only has to average. Davis.
Yeah, Davis could absolutely get
1,000 yards. I'm here supporting your narrative.
Thank you. Davis is one good game away from surpassing that total in half a season. So, again, Corey Davis is the best receiver on the Titans. Let's not pretend like that's not true. But Sharpe is better than I thought he was.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I just wanted to say that piece because it's been weighing heavy on my heart over these past 2 weeks, hearing everybody trash my beloved Corey Davis.
Well, there you go. Thanks for listening, efforts. Make sure to visit our sponsor, For the Ville 615, at fortheville615.com for all your clothing needs. Rate and review us on whatever you're listening on, or share us on Twitter. That's how we get the word out about the podcast. We don't advertise this anywhere, and you can get.
I did a poor job advertising on Twitter. I did not put one post up about our podcast.
That reminds me, we need to get to F mail in the NFL pod.
Absolutely. You can read more of Mike's analysis on all things Titans at Music City Miracles. We are football and other F words, and you've just been F'd.
Hey, I'm Anil Dash, and I'm the host of a new show called Function from the Vox Media Podcast Network and Glitch. This season, we're talking with experts about why our voting machines are so bad and how that might hurt our elections. We'll also talk with an animator to find out how popular dances from the real world end up in video games. And we're going to tackle the biggest question in tech. Why do so many celebrities use screenshots from that Apple Notes app to make their public apologies when they screw up? You can find new episodes of Function every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thanks to Microsoft Azure for sponsoring Function.